Good morning. Once again, happy Easter and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 49 in verse 15, which reads, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Selah. In context, the sons of Korah contrast the hope of the foolish folks who live for this life only with the hope of the faithful of God. Although this inspired hymn was penned back in Old Testament days, the concepts of divine redemption and the resurrection were clearly understood, and they were believed by faith. We have the benefit of viewing our text through the lens of the New Testament. And every so often as we read through the Old Testament, we find one of these beautiful gems which speaks of that which was to come and that which came. Let us take full advantage of the fact that we have the full counsel of God. Our outline this morning will follow the very words of our scripture as it comes to us, as is my custom. Once again, this week, we have three R's. Brother Jim? The first phrase deals with divine redemption. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. The second phrase is the divine reception. For he shall receive me. And finally, there is the rumination on divine truth. Selah. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. This theme has been abundantly common in the preaching here of late. And so it always ought to be. Every scripture text that speaks of divine redemption gives our spirits a new perspective of its meaning. And a new sight line into the doctrine. First, in our text, we find that God himself is the author and initiator of our redemption. It has to be so because we are clearly incapable of redeeming ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
All we can do on our own efforts is to dig ourselves a hole into which to fall. Enter the Savior. Because of God's awesome love and mercy, his heart compelled him to act. And he did so in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Consider the Lord's heart. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. In his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And so it was in his first advent. But that's not all. He's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming again. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Note in our text what is redeemed. The soul. This is the immortal part of our being. From the very moment that we were first conceived and created in our mother's womb, our soul, our spirit, has existed and will exist. At death, the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. For the unbeliever, the spirit will return to the presence of God, but will be placed at the great white throne judgment. For the believer, the spirit will return unto glory guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we celebrate this day. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Note finally, that from which the soul is redeemed. Again, we have it in our text. The power of the grave. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our second point this morning is the divine reception. We read in our text this beautiful promise, for he shall receive me. This is the heavenly homecoming, attended to by angels and saints, and hosted by God the Father. I can only imagine what it will be like in that day. In the 14th chapter of John, Jesus Christ himself speaks of the nature of the reception that the soul of the redeemed believer will receive. in heaven. It will not be just any old reception. It will be a personal reception in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What's Jesus doing today? Well, he's doing a lot of things. He's interceding on our behalf. But he's also preparing an eternal home for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Selah. The rumination on the divine truth. Selah is a musical pause found throughout the Psalms. We also find it in the Minor Prophets. And it is not without meaning. It means pause to think about it. So, when we read our text, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me," Selah, we stop and we think about what we just read. And we give it careful consideration. Pause to think about Christ's selfless love, proven by his sacrifice. Pause to think about your need for his redemption. We are utter failures many times. Yet, as Christians, we are more than conquerors and partakers of the victory of the blood of Christ. Pause to consider what sort of reception you will receive in the hereafter. If you have received Jesus Christ, then he shall receive you. Continuing in the 14th chapter of John, in our subtext we read, "And where I go, you know, in the way you know." We know where Jesus went.
Amen.
We know how to get there. But do we act on it? Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" I read this as Thomas is looking for a little more clarification, a little more information. But Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, Thomas, you've got all you need to know. Just come. Just come. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Pause to think about the fact with me for a moment, as this occurred to me in putting this sermon together, that our text and also many of the rest of the scriptures that have been quoted this Easter morn are often read at funerals. Why would that be so? I suppose it's not a coincidence. There are no coincidences in God's economy. But is not Easter a day of joy and victory? Is not death the passing of our physical bodies and our spirits from this earth a day of celebration for the redeemed? A time where the Spirit goes to celebrate and rejoice in the presence forevermore with the Lord Jesus. And the body, though it be 6 feet in the ground, will one day be redeemed and reunified with the Spirit. We'll celebrate the resurrection a few times in this life. If by reason of God's grace, maybe 70 years, 80 years, 90, if the Lord blesses us so. But we'll celebrate the victory of the resurrection and its outworkings an infinite number of times in His presence. This is just practice. This is just rehearsal, friends. We come from God. We are called to live for God for a little while and bid to return back to our Creator, the unbroken circle. If there be anything broken in you, if you have not received Christ, as you sit there, then if you were to go to meet Him today, He would not receive you either. Pray the Lord to repair the breach. May we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ today as people of the certain hope, once for all received by faith and through faith in Him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this word, for Your words, for Your truth, for the hope, the peace, and the joy which You freely give. Heavenly Father, may the resurrection be the Selah, the meditation of our hearts all the day. May any here this morning who do not have the assurance of the divine reception of which we spoke, be cut to the heart and receive You even now, knowing that the work is finished, that heaven has not reached its quota, and that there is no sin too great to keep anyone out. No sin that the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, has not paid the penalty for. Thank You for this appointed day of celebration, of joy, that we may observe, and that we may observe unto the Lord. All these things we set before You In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.